one area of your life or of the ministry of your local church that the devil would like to douse, that he would like to stifle and kill, it would be the area of personal soul winning, the area of you and your heart and your church's heart for going out specifically to win the lost, to bring others to Jesus Christ. Friend, that flame is a flame that has to be constantly fed in your heart and in the heart of your local church ministry. And today on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, we're going to discuss how to reignite soul-winning fervor in local church ministry. If you've been a Christian or a spiritual leader for any length of time, you know that soul-winning fervor can begin to die. It can begin to diminish. It needs constant attention, like a fire that needs to be fueled. It needs to be reignited. Our heart, our passion, our commitment to the lost needs to be reignited on a regular basis. And Jesus himself said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, featuring the teaching and encouragement of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This monthly Spiritual Leadership Podcast is a complimentary ministry into your life. It's our joy to strive together with you in the ministry. If you'd like to receive today's outline for this lesson, be sure to visit Dr. Chapel's blog at paulchapel.com. Click on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, send us your email address, and we'll be sure to send you an outline every time we release a new podcast. Today, we're going to encourage you to reignite and to continue reigniting soul-winning fervor in your church. Pastor, give us a word of introduction.
I'm very excited about today's lesson because it speaks to the heart of ministry. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I see pastors today who are busy in so many different areas, sending many times their staff members to conferences and attending conferences. And while this is exciting and we're excited about our spiritual leadership conference, it's as if we're always running to find an answer, but never implementing the answer. Well, if you're interested in reigniting soul-winning fervor, take a few minutes and consider what we're going to share in today's lesson. You may not need another conference. You may not need to read another book. You may need to simply take some time with the Lord and ask him to stir you again with a passion for souls.
Are you aware of some pastors who have recently seen a soul-winning fervor reignited in their church?
You know, I have seen several pastors in recent months and years who have truly seen a reigniting for souls in their ministry. I thank the Lord for what I am observing, especially amongst pastors in their mid-20s to mid-30s across the country, as they endeavor to reach out and capture the lost for Jesus Christ. Now, there are pastors of all age groups and all demographic areas who are involved in soul winning, but I have seen a good number of young pastors in recent years who have not only been involved personally, but whose churches are really staying out in the field, knocking on doors, winning people to Christ, and maintaining a passion for souls.
Are there factors in fundamentalism that are contributing to a philosophical decline in soul winning?
I believe the factors in fundamentalism would be similar even in other groups. And some of the factors facing Christians and even fundamentalists in recent days are, number one, apathy. We see a tremendous spirit of apathy that has come upon many churches. The mortgages get paid, the people get content, and all of a sudden, it's more of a maintenance mode than a building mode. And that's what this lesson is about, resisting that apathy. Secondly, we have seen a lot of pastors delving into Calvinism. We've had Baptist colleges recently that have had prominent Presbyterian preachers. We have seen a real interest in folks studying the works of Calvinistic writers. I've heard prominent independent fundamental Baptists say their goal is to be a faithful witness and a faithful teacher. All of that is fine, but it is as if they're putting down the concept of really going out and reaching out for souls. And so I believe apathy is a factor. Calvinism is a factor. And then I believe another factor is the fact that the pastors and their own families many times are unwilling to be involved in soul winning. And because people do what people see, the church ceases to be a soul winning church because the pastor ceases to be a personal soul winner.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Friend, this is a session that will challenge all of us to ignite our own hearts for soul winning. And believe me that soul winning is better caught than taught. I hope that God will use this lesson to challenge you to reignite the fervor for soul winning in your own church. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Revelation 2:1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So far, we sound pretty good. The Lord is speaking to the church at Ephesus. He is the one who holds in his hands the messengers of the church. He says, you're doing a good job fighting false doctrine. You're fighting the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You're taking the stand that needs to be taken and contending for the faith. And I think that can be said of fundamentalism, and that's a good thing to stand against apostasy. But then we see also, as he continues, he says, Thou hast borne, thou hast had patience, and for my name's sake thou hast labored, hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I believe it's a great challenge to keep a church in the first love mode. First love meaning in love with Christ and meaning passionate for his mission. If you've pastored a church, started a church those early years, you've been in a first love mode. And yet reigniting that is something that is very needful. And we can't work it up with a fast song or an exciting program. It must come from the Lord. But what are some things that as spiritual leaders we can do to point people back to the Lord and back to his mission to keep the church from becoming inward and to keep that focus on the lost souls all around us? And that's what this session is going to be about, just some ideas on how to reignite the first love, the soul-winning fervor in the church. Lord, give us churches all over this country with first love passion. Bless this session toward that end, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, maintaining soul-winning fervor is ultimately determined by every individual pastor and every individual Christian yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. As spiritual leaders, however, it is my responsibility and your responsibility to raise the level of consciousness in the heart of the church family to realizing that it is our mission to seek and to save. It is our mission, if you will, to reach. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And frankly, that's something that churches emphasize in the early pioneering days. You know, one of the most dangerous times a church can get to is when their mortgage is paid, there's money in the bank, and if you'll just be a good CEO, it'll all work out. Okay, but I want to encourage you to stay on those pioneering, soul-winning paths. Now, if you have to go borrow a couple million and build another building to motivate yourself, then do that. If that's what it takes, man, we got to get more people in here. But I'm telling you, there ought to be something called the love of Christ that constraineth us. First love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, death comes when memories of the past supersede visions for the future. Okay? And I'm not making fun of any fellowships. A lot of good fellowships are represented here this morning. But you know, a lot of preachers' fellowships, they get around and they talk about the glory days. Right? And by the way, thank God for the glory days. I am thankful for our heritage as independent fundamental Baptists. I thank God for it. We've done our best to remind young preachers of those who've blazed the trail before us. But I'm not going to let the memories of yesterday overshadow the dreams for tomorrow. See? And that's what we want to remember as we talk about reigniting soul-winning fervor. So here are some steps I challenge you to take in this session. Number one. Let's assess the involvement of our church family. Let's make assessments of the church. My responsibility as a pastor, and something I'm doing consciously all the time, is assessing where we're at with the church family, both spiritually, but also who's involved in ministry, how many are involved in soul winning. I'm always assessing, not for the numbers game, but for the spiritual temperature of the church. For example, I want to know what the attendance was in church. Yes, I do. But I also receive every week the attendance in soul winning.
See, you can have 1,000 people in church and have a very weak church. So I'm constantly assessing not only how many were in church, all right, but I'm assessing how many are in ministry, how many were in soul winning, how many new believers are in discipleship, what are the offerings. How many of you realize there are several gauges, spiritual gauges, that give you an indication of where your church is right now, okay? If I know in my church, if I know that in this congregation there's 10 or 12 people harboring bitterness against one another, and that's kind of becoming a predominant thing, that's a problem. I'm going to have to make an assessment on how to pray or how to help them with that type of a situation. Now, as you assess the involvement of your church, a couple of things. You must, first of all, consider your purpose as a church. Our purpose is listed this way, it may be in your notes, to inspire people to develop a heart for God. Is any of this in your notes? All right, our purpose is to inspire people to develop a heart for God. We believe this, we believe everything we do for the Lord needs to flow from a heart of surrender to the Lord. If the heart is pure, the vision is clear. So we want to start with hearts yielded to the Lord. We're not going to mandate tithing and attending and all the rest of this and expect external pressure to be enough. God must move on the hearts of people. So we want to inspire them to have a heart for God. Then we want to include them in the church family through baptism or membership. Then we instruct them through Sunday school, discipleship, preaching. But our fourth purpose is to involve them in ministry, all right? And fifthly, to impact our community. So we're always asking as a staff these questions. How are we doing on inspiring people to have a heart for God? Are we seeing people saved? Are we seeing people at the altars? How's the response to the preaching? Are we including people in the church family? How many have been baptized? How many are enrolled in the Sunday school? How many are in the hopper ready to come and be a part of this place? Are we involved in instructing? How many did we enroll in Sunday school? And is the curriculum ready for the next quarter? And are the teachers studying? And that's why I believe you need to get Sunday school curriculum for your lay teachers. They will appreciate a teacher's edition, something they can study and get ready for. And then we ask this question, how many are involved in ministry? Most of you know I receive a stat sheet every Monday that gives me all of this in one sheet. In fact, you have a copy of that in your packet. And I want to know how many people are serving. So one of the ways I assess the health of the church, yes, attendance is maybe a factor, but beyond attendance, I want to know how many people served this week, how many people were involved in soul winning this week, how many people are in discipleship this week, how many people were enrolled in the Sunday school this week, because it all works together to build the health of the church, not just the size, but the health of the church. Now, the fourth and fifth purpose of our church are inseparable. You cannot impact a community without involving people. And so I must consider my purpose as a church. Secondly, letter B, I must consider the program of the church. I must consider the program of the church. Now, here's some things I consider with respect to the program of the church. What are my weekly outreach times? Some of you need to be thinking about this right now. Say, well, Brother Chapel, if we have more than one time of weekly visitation, I might have to go more than once. Okay? That goes back to the cost. If you're not willing to pay the price, don't expect God to do anything else in blessing the church. Now, some of you don't need to do that. Some of you are full bore ahead. I'm trying to challenge those that need to be willing to step out a little further when I say those types of things. And I'm just simply saying here that if you have a Thursday night visitation, what I'm trying to get you to do in reigniting soul winning fervor is maybe to say, you know, maybe we could add a Saturday morning meeting. My feeling is most pastors should go out soul winning and visiting every Saturday. I mean, if I'm going to expect something on Sunday, I've probably got to do something all week, but especially Saturday. I'm going to call those that I've met at the soul winning times and met around town and call the absentees the week before. I'm going to go out and make some visits. I do that every single Saturday, so I'm just assuming that's normal. And so here's my philosophy. If I'm going to go out, I want some other people to go out with me, right? So we have Tuesday night soul winning, Saturday soul winning. Maybe you say, well, Brother Chapel, we have Thursday, we have Saturday. Maybe you'll start Thursday morning for the ladies. We have a lot of ladies in our church that don't like to go out at night. My mother-in-law, who's 81 years old, who was baptized here in our church 20 years ago, my mother-in-law comes every Tuesday morning. She's 81 years old. I am not saying this to shame you. I'm saying this as a testimony. I know she averages 50 minimum doors a week. I would never ask you to stand
if you didn't knock that many last week. I just would ask you to ponder it, though. 81-year-old lady. And a lot of the widow ladies, they like Tuesday morning. They get together. Brother Furso teaches them a lesson. They'll go to a neighborhood, and they knock on doors. Hi, we're from Lancaster Baptist Church. And they come back with funny stories, and they tell about people they've led to the Lord, and they have people that visit all the time, sit with them. And so just having that opportunity, it's just people's schedules. Not everybody's schedule fits Thursday night. That's what I'm trying to say. So multiple opportunities. That's something some of you might want to think about right now. And then secondly, what are your annual outreach events? Are you having, you know, when a lot of people come to our, for example, to our Easter program. We might have a drama up here, and we may have the choir singing and all these types of things. And someone says, well, yeah, I would do that if I had a choir and an orchestra and people could do all these things. You know what? We were doing it when we had a choir of 20 and when we had three people who didn't know anything about really trying to portray the life of Christ. I mean, we would just get some book from somebody and do the best we could with what we had. And let me tell you who came. The friends of the choir members. Now, last Easter, we had, the ushers are in here, but thousands. I'm going to say, counting the different times, probably maybe 8,000 or 9,000. We had Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, different people coming through. But you know what? We did it when we had 80 and 100 and had a big time with it. And I'm just simply saying those types of programs ought to be thought out. What are your outreach events? We have what we call Open House Sunday. It's been very effective for us. There's a whole chapter of that in our book, Order in the Church. We have the Easter, the Christmas outreaches. We have ladies that make Christmas ornaments every December, and we go to about 1,000 doors that are closer into our church and just put a gospel tract with it and give them the Christmas ornament from Lancaster Baptist Church. All of these outreach events, what are you doing for outreach? Then, letter C, consider the participation of the people. Just again, a little more analysis on this. Number one, what percentage of your Sunday p.m. attendance is involved in soul winning? So just think about that for a minute. Say, all right, we have 80, we run about 80 on Sunday night, okay? How many of those are involved in soul winning? And what you want to do as you have a kickoff this August, a soul winning kickoff, signs in your foyer, sign up tables, you're going to have a meal for them, you're going to have partners already made for them, and all these things we'll talk about. You're praying, God, if I have 8 people that go soul winning, I'm going to pray, God, that you give me 24 this September. 24 soul winners going out, reaching people for Christ. All right? People do what people see. And of course, you want to encourage your leaders to be involved in this. Number two, are your staff and deacons involved in the weekly program? Now, everyone here has a different moment of leadership in their church right now. I believe, and in our case, every staff member is required to go out soul winning. It's sort of dumb to say that when Jesus commanded us to. But just to make sure. Right? And we say when we hire them. Now, you'll need to be a part of the weekly visible soul winning of the church, because many church members will look for the example of the lowest staff member and follow that. So we don't want to have a poor example on our staff. We want every staff member to give a good example of what the faithful Christian life is all about. When I interview a prospective deacon, one of the things I share with them is, now, brother, you're already involved in soul winning, but I want to remind you that's even more important now that you're going to be a deacon, because people are going to look to your example. I would not be a new pastor in a church. If I was a new pastor in a church, I would not ask someone to stop being a deacon who wasn't going soul winning if I'm the new pastor there. But I would ask him all the time, want to go soul winning with me Tuesday? Can you go soul winning with me Saturday? Hey, did you hear about someone who got saved at soul winning? I wouldn't try to publicly embarrass them, but I would keep it in front of them that I'm soul winning, he's soul winning, he's soul winning. Want to go soul winning with me? I don't think so. Hey, he and I went soul winning, got someone saved. Isn't that great? Someone got saved on soul winning. I would keep it up until he got involved in soul winning, or until he said, you know, I'm just not sure if I should probably be a deacon anymore. Now, I prefer that he starts going soul winning. Right? Because I know what some of you are saying. Well, I got old Deacon Joe. He ain't never been soul winning in 20 years. What do? Take him with you. See, there again, it all comes back to the pastor. Hey, Joe, want to go soul winning with me? We'll go out soul winning, and we'll go get an In-N-Out afterwards. Now, he might not like soul winning, but that In-N-Out might tie him in. Right? Whatever it takes. Soul winning. And number three, Are your expectations clear for your workers? Now, in our church, when someone is enlisted, that was number three under letter C here. Are your expectations clear? When someone's enlisted as a worker, we tell them up front, now, if you're going to take a class, we're going to expect you to go out and visit your class and be involved in soul winning. Let them know that. All right, Roman numeral two. Roman numeral one was assess the involvement of the church. How many of you, while I've been talking, you've been thinking about deacons and Sunday night crowd, and you've been making a little bit of assessment here, okay? And let's all agree, we all need to approve. All right. Because I am pastoring Christians in all stages of their walks, just like you, in the middle of the summer with vacations. And I'm going to tell you, of course, past week, we had a good week leading into our anniversary Sunday. We went out, knocked on 17,000 doors. We had great involvement. We had lots of people knock lots of doors. But just probably next week after this conference, it may not be. In fact, I don't think having this conference, we're going to have 17,000 doors. In fact, I hope we get 17 doors by the time this thing's over. I'm just telling you, we're going to have to reignite some stuff going into our fall program, too. And I'm not saying this to say that some churches are perfect and some churches... No, churches are in seasons. And right now, a lot of us by the uplifted hand have said, in my mind, I've made the assessment in this moment. I've got some deacons I need to encourage. I've got to have a kickoff to encourage everybody. I need to get this going again in our church. Number two, then I want to adjust the program as needed. Now, this quote helped me years ago. Leaders have a bias for action that is centered around shared goals. Now, if you raised your hand a minute ago and do nothing about it, that is a statement of your leadership. If you can raise your hand and say, you know, I was making the assessment and I've got 0% of my Sunday night going out and I've got five deacons, four of which never go soul winning, and you intend to do nothing about it, I question your leadership. Because leaders have a bias for action. They're going to see the need and take the lead. Okay. Say that with me. See the need. One more time. Okay. Paul said, Titus, I want you to set in order the things that are wanting. Okay. And as you come to a conference like this, not every session is going to be as effective and not every time you're going to change it. But listen, when the Holy Spirit says to you, you know what? That is wanting in our church. Do something about it. Okay? All right? Look it. A dream without a plan is a wish. Okay. Oh, someday I'd love to do this or that. All right, what's your plan? How are we going to get there? All right? Show me the way. Look it. Leaders know the way, go the way, and show the way. All right? And so you've got to show them the way. So what are some things to do to adjust the program? Letter A. I would recommend, I touched on this a moment ago, perhaps you could add an additional outreach opportunity. Now, I'm not an advocate of just more and more and more activity. So if you've already got a couple times and you're content with that, please hear me. You don't need to add another time. You maybe need to just build the times you have to be stronger, okay? But I'm a strong proponent of this. If you have one outreach time a week, go to a second outreach time, okay? Here are some times. We have Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, teen soul winning, staff soul winning, Saturday soul winning, business soul winning. Are those listed out for you? Business soul winning is where... I did this for about 2 years when I first came. I have a staff member doing it now. He goes from business to business, Reggie Williams. Hi, I'm Reggie Williams. And if he doesn't knock on the door, he'll go up to the counter and he'll talk to the manager. Hi, I'm Reggie Williams from Lancaster Baptist Church. Is the owner here? Owner comes out. Hi, Reggie Williams from Lancaster Baptist Church. Pastor Chappell sent me over just to tell you that, number one, we appreciate you being a business owner here in this community. And here's his card, and we want you to know that if there's ever a way we can help you, we'd be glad to help you or your employees. If there's ever a problem with an employee that they may have a personal problem, our church is here to help you. And on the back of this, you'll find some good news about Jesus Christ and how to have a relationship with Him. I teach such and so Bible class, and if you ever want to come, you can come. And last Sunday, Reggie had a visiting business owner from what we call business soul winning. Any business owner that won't take 5 minutes to talk to a prospective customer isn't going to stay in business, right? And that's just something we've done, and that's been a good way of soul winning for us. And so those are some of our times. Now, if you pastor a church with multiple staff, you want the DNA of your ministry to be such that it is common for those staff members to say, hey, Joe, let's go hit some doors this afternoon. Amen. You say, well, how does that become common DNA in a ministry? Number one, because you take them. Number two, because you go, as I'll say, hey, Brother Furso, Dr. Salazar, he's new in the college, and he's more involved prior to coming here educationally. I want you to take him out with you and let him get the heartbeat of this place and go. Oh, Brother Sisk, if he's ever here for 2 or 3 days, every single time, listen, Brother Sisk is one of the most real Christians you'll ever meet. Okay? Every time, this is what Brother Sisk does. He'll grab some new guy on staff. He'll grab Brother Furso. He'll say, hey guys, want to go do some door knocking? That's a blessing. I know a lot of bureaucrats who head missions agencies who haven't knocked on a door in a long time. Okay. I get a blessing out of real Christianity, right? That's what I'm talking about. I always tell our guys going out of here to raise support. I say, look, when you get to the town where you're going to be in the missions conference, go soul winning. And when you get to the missions conference, give to the pastor the names and addresses of the people you led to the Lord. I said, if a pastor won't support a soul-winning missionary, he's not looking to support missionaries, right? So anyways, pastors, tell your staff. Say, hey, fellas, why don't you get out and get some doors? Say, well, that might be a little uncomfortable to tell them, and it might make them feel uncomfortable. Who's the pastor? Your job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And if you have staff that are comfortable playing Nintendo at the church desk, get them out, right? Well, so that's not going over too well, so I'm going to try the next point here. Say, man, Brother Chapel, you're mean. No, I just believe in we got to be out after souls, that's all. Add an additional outreach opportunity. Add an outreach event. Add an outreach event. Open house, I mentioned. Friend day. Easter outreach. You could make your own list. But look at your calendar. Plan it intentionally. Make sure that you have days that are specifically for outreach on that calendar. Letter C, cultivate the field of souls. What can you do to make that ground more fertile for your soul winners? All right? One of the best things we've done recently is direct mail. Direct mail. You contact the fellows at Striving Together. They can put together for you something. We have one called the Community Connection. We do them 4 times a year. And the Community Connection will have a little message about maybe the family. It'll have things about upcoming activities at the church. It'll have little articles for parents and single adults. And it'll have a little thing you can clip off and bring to the church for a free Bible. We put all kinds of stuff in it. But this is what we'll say. All right, let's pick the 93535 area zip code. And let's mail these things at the 1st of September, because it's going to take a couple weeks with bulk mail, to the 935 zip code. And let's focus our soul winning by mid-September at the 935 zip code. Now, why are we doing that? We're doing that so that the people have just heard about it. Perhaps the Holy Spirit's perked up a little interest in their heart, and here comes the soul winner. We're trying to plow the field before we sow the seed. On the open house Sunday, we buy a lot of television commercials, and you say, well, that's kind of expensive. But you'd be surprised in some of your areas. You can get 5 runs a day on Fox News for, you know, $25 a run or something like that. And oftentimes I've gone to a door on big day calling or open house calling, and I'll say, hi, I'm Pastor Chapel, Lancaster Baptist Church. I go, I just saw you on television. And you know what that does? It opens up the conversation, okay? So cultivate the field. So as a pastor, I need to think this way. I am here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and I want them to enjoy the ministry. How can I help to make this time more effective as they're out soul winning? Direct mail, radio, websites. Well, you know, I think some guys are maybe fooling around with websites too much, but every church should have a website, a nice website. And one of the things I like to say when I'm out soul winning, I say, hey, by the way, if they're busy, you know, well, we don't have a lot of time. Hey, look, do me a favor. If you get a chance, visit us on the web, LancasterBaptist.org. You can tour our campus. You can look at the auditorium. There's a videoed message for me. Just visit us right there. And a lot of people these days are visiting you on the web multiple times before they come and visit you at church, and that's all right. And so cultivate. Letter D, establish basic requirements for all leaders. Establish basic requirements for all leaders. I do not think it is legalistic or overly authoritarian to have a requirement for a deacon or a teacher to go soul winning every week, okay? any more than it's wrong for Lockheed to require their employees to wear a tie or to come in at 8 o'clock or whatever else they need to do to make airplanes. It is not wrong for a spiritual leader to say, those who are in leadership in this church are soul winners. We're going to be in this together. If you can't meet that requirement, we still love you. We'll still serve God together. But this is what we require of our leaders, okay? So that may be an adjustment you need to make. Number three, announce the program through preaching. Nothing is as vital as the preached word when it comes to challenging God's people for soul winning. I want to say that again. Nothing is as vital as the preached word when it comes to challenging God's people for soul winning. Now, you can make assessments all day. Listen carefully. You can make assessments all day. You can get all kinds of programs organized. But if you're not going to preach about it, it's not going to get done. What gets preached about is what's going to get done. What gets emphasized is what's going to get done. So let me encourage you as you come into the September 1 time frame and your soul winning kickoff is September 15th and you're praying for 24 soul winners or you're praying for 80 soul winners to come, and then you're going to divide them up by Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Saturday morning, and here's your partner, and you're going to explain the whole program and maybe have a PowerPoint or a dry board, and you're going to tell them, here's how we do our soul winning. I give them a whole orientation. It's like welcoming them to the church, but this is welcome to the soul winning program. And if I'm going to have people come to that, I've got to emphasize it with preaching. Now, letter A, messages should coincide with annual registration. So about September 1, Brother First Soul might say, Pastor, we're doing good. We have about 400 folks planning to go out soul winning and be a part of soul winning. Then I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to preach about that first Sunday night of September. I'm going to preach about Jesus being moved with compassion. I'm going to preach about how he left the 99 to find the one. I'm going to preach about reaching souls and help people to have a heart for souls. God uses his preached word. And then letter B, messages should provide scriptural admonition. Again, don't try to say, some of you folks, if you cared, you'd go. And some of you folks, and don't try to do that. Some, I've heard of pastors in the past, they've said, all right, they're at church on a Wednesday night. Tomorrow, Thursday night, soul winning. They say, all right. How many of you are going to be at soul winning tomorrow? If you're going soul winning tomorrow, stand. Well, and then you got these ones that aren't standing. And what in the world are we going to do about that? What if a guy's sitting down because tomorrow's his 25th anniversary? What if he stands up because everybody's standing and the pastor's staring at him? What if he comes out soul winning on his 25th anniversary, but now he's starting to get bitter at you? The reason he's getting bitter is because you motivated in an improper way. Okay. Be careful about just guilt-tripping folks into doing stuff. Preach, raise the standard, pray, encourage, nurture, trust the Holy Spirit to lead in their heart. But again, you want to stand back at the end of the day and say, God brought these people out soul winning. God saved these souls. God's doing this work. Okay. Provide scriptural admonition. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Help them to see it in the Bible. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I want the members of this church to respond to the biblical mandate from the Scripture. I don't want them responding to my personality. God uses us in our personality. I understand that. But I don't want it to be my charisma. I don't want it to be my motivation. I don't want it to be my best thought on how to get people to do stuff. I want them seeing, hey, that's what the Bible says. I'm a child of God. I need to do what God says. All right, number four. Ask the membership to attend the soul winning kickoff event. I try to encourage every member to be a part. What we do is we have sign-up tables in the foyer every service for about a month. Don't forget to sign up for soul winning. Fall program's coming. We're going to have a great season. Want everybody to be a part of this. Choir members, don't forget. Ushers, don't forget. Everybody can be a part of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do that about a month in advance. Letter B, have sign-up cards in the bulletin. If you'd like to sign up to be a part of the soul winning kickoff, everybody can be a part of reaching someone for Christ. There's a card today in the bulletin. Fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, and we'll begin seeking a partner for you, and we'll order the team soul winning book for you so that you can attend the training classes on Tuesday night, Tuesday morning, and Saturday, and that way we'll be ready for you. So please sign up, folks. We want to order maps and soul winning books, and we want to have everything ready for you. Don't forget to sign up for the soul winning program. Letter C, have soul winning testimonies on Sunday night. Well, before we take the offering tonight, I want to ask Brother John to come and tell us what God has done in his life. John says, well, I'm just so thankful for a church that that cares about people. Last year, someone knocked on my door and invited me to church. We came three times. After the third time, I filled out one of those cards. Someone came to our house on a Tuesday night. My wife and I prayed, and we accepted Christ as Savior. We're so glad we're saved. We're so glad we're part of this church. What does that do? It tells the whole church soul winning works. Because the devil's saying, that doesn't work. That's embarrassing. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. But we as the leaders with a bias for action have to remind the church, it does work. It's God's plan. It does work. All right? Number five, talking about reigniting soul winning. Number five, assign soul winning partners. Now, the pastor and in a smaller church needs to do this directly. The pastor and the staff need to do this as the church grows. I think the pastor needs to think about who's going to take who out and even where they're going to go. Make sure that someone who's experienced is training someone with inexperience. Someone said, tell me and I'll forget. Show me and I'll remember. Involve me and I'll understand. Okay? When someone gets involved in soul winning, they're going to take mega leaps in their Christian life. And as you get them involved, they're going to begin to really grow in their Christian life. So you want to assign a good partner that will mentor them and train them. Look at some of the best friends. I was talking to Jim Albera. Jim is one of the sweetest Christian men you'd ever meet. Just, he loves the Lord. He's out here serving meals all week. Took a week off work to be here. And when Mark Lawrence passed away last week, and I gave Jim a big hug, and he had tears come down his face. He said, Mark was my soul-winning partner a number of years ago. He said, we led a lot of people to the Lord together. There is no friendship in the Christian life like the friendships with your soul-winning partners. Yeah. And there's just a bond that happens there. And it's just a blessing to see people going out. It gives some accountability. Now, by the way, be ready for this fact. If you have 20 teams, that's 40 people, be ready for the fact that three or four teams, their partner's not going to show up after a couple of times, either because of sickness or work or whatever. So be ready to say, hey, Joe, your partner's not here. Well, Jim's partner's not here. And why don't you guys go together tonight? And here's a call for you. Here's a map. Here's someone that visited last Sunday. Here's a place for you to go. Pastors, we got to be watching for that and keeping them encouraged along the way, right? We have to take note on, you know what, Joe wasn't here. Joe, I just want to make sure you're going to be there next Tuesday because John was waiting for, yeah, Pastor, I'm sorry, I had to work overtime. And we want to keep working at that all the time. All right, so what do we do in the soul winning partner assignments? Letter A, we assign by class, group, or ministry. So if Brother Willette and Brother Houston here are both in the home builders class, typically we're going to put them together as partners because they then can invite someone to visit their class. Amen. It's just a natural. By the way, they're going to see each other on Sunday, so then it's natural to say, hey, see you Tuesday night. All right. So we have a lot of our soul winning partnering is done predominantly through the adult Bible classes. Sometimes it's done through a group, like an usher with an usher or a choir member with a choir member. But predominantly, we do this through the adult Bible classes. And the teacher then knows who the partners are, and he can encourage those soul-winning partners right there through the class. Next, we assign experience with inexperienced. Next, we ask the folks to commit to faithfulness. In the fall kickoff, we ask them to commit to it's about 17 weeks, not counting our missions conference times and some other times, to about 17 Tuesday nights of soul winning, or 17 Tuesday mornings or 17 Saturdays. And then we reignite this all the second Tuesday of January. We kick it all off again. We have to readjust some partnering and so forth, and we move in the new year that way. We ask those partners to do two things. We ask them, number one, to share their testimonies with each other. And we ask them to make the 15 to 17 week commitment. Letter D, we prepare varied calls for them. We prepare calls for them. I'll list just a few. Number one, we have new move-in calls for them. These are the homeowners marketing is the name of the company we use. And these new move-ins are people that are buying homes in our community. Every one of you can get this. Any closed escrow is a matter of public record. And they'll give you the name of the person that just moved into that area. And then we go and we say, hi, we're just here to welcome you to the community. We're from Lancaster Baptist Church. Have a little coffee mug here for you. We have a map That'll give you some directions around this new city. We're so glad you're here, and we just want to let you know that. And we begin to talk to them, and then as the Lord opens doors, we say, by the way, if you were to die today, you'd sure be on your way to heaven. If they don't want to talk right there, maybe they're still unpacking. That's often the case. We'll say, well, we'll come back when you're a little more settled in. And but we know what we want. We want to make that first contact before the Mormons, before the Jehovah Witness. We want to be there. New move-ins every Tuesday night. Number two, visitor follow-up. Visitor follow-up. That's, of course, directly from the visitor cards filled out on Sundays. Number three, house-to-house soul winning. Number four, class follow-up. Someone visited a class. We want to go back and visit them and enroll them into the class. Number six, we need to analyze the calling results. Analyze the calling results. And I'm going to talk to you about this in a moment. We'll look at some statistical sheets. And are the people saved? We want to ask, are these people saved? Were they enrolled in a class? Pastors, here's what I'm trying to say. Ask yourself, when the call is done, how did that call go? What do I need to do with this? You don't just say, well, someone went there, we did our duty. No, no. Did the person get saved? No. All right, let's keep them on another list so we'll go back. Did the person, they're already saved, but they're not Baptist, and we need to explain to them what is a Baptist and this type of thing, then I'm going to send Brother Houck over there. I'm going to send Brother so-and-so over there because they had some questions beyond this particular team. We've got to steward that. We've got to be passionate about stewarding these soul-winning contacts. Letter B, analyze the results of soul winners. Now, you say, well, the attendance is down in soul winning. All right, what do I need to do? Do I need better training? Do I need encouraging? Do I need to reassign some partners? And by the way, last year we signed up 1,100 soul winners at Lancaster Baptist Church, not counting college students. But as I said in one of the sessions yesterday, we dipped down. We probably averaged 750 or so, maybe 700. And when we got right up to the holidays, maybe even just a little bit less. Here's the point. Don't expect perfection, but he who aims at nothing hits it every time. So if you have 5 soul winners and you get 24 signed up, and by the end of the season you're averaging 15, you still did 3 times better than you were doing. Okay? Now, let me give you a little chart to illustrate kind of how this process should go. You start off with soul winning. You have the chart here, fellas, in the back. Let me know if you do, if you don't. Next slide, please. Okay, you start off with soul winning, and then just move around this quickly. From soul winning, they come to church and you get a visitor's card, all right? So the whole basis of door knocking is to produce visitors, to produce people coming to the church, to get people saved and get them coming to the church. From the soul winning efforts, and that's why the foundation of what we do is knocking doors and going through the field, but then we have them fill out the visitor card. From the visitor card, we do what? We reproduce a soul winning card. Soul winning card is distributed by the pastor or the soul winning director to the adult teachers and then down to the soul winners. In a smaller church, the soul winning director is the pastor. He's giving it out to the faithful few men that are going with him, but he's discerning about who he gives it to and who he's partnering, and he's very interested about the calls when they come back, and he's going to go back on Saturday if he needs to, and he's kind of handling that, as we talked yesterday, at that level until it's delegated later. From the soul winning card, we encourage this visitor to enroll in Sunday school. That's one of the basic things we try to do at every visit. Even if they don't get saved, we try to enroll them in Sunday school. From that point, we are encouraging them into church membership. From that point, we are going to disciple them. And from that point, they're going to become involved in soul winning themselves. That's our goal as we work with people and get them involved.
You've been listening to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast from Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This podcast is the ministry of the spiritual leadership training and efforts of Dr. Chappell, and it's our gift to you on a monthly basis. We hope you'll take the contents of today's lesson and pass them on to your church staff, to those you lead in ministry, to your church family. We've been talking about how to reignite the soul-winning fervor of a local church. I want to encourage you to visit us at strivingtogether.com, our publications resource ministry website. At the website, I want to encourage you specifically to look at the new children's curriculum, The Steps of Our Savior, 13 Bible lessons, including teaching tips, memory verses, craft and snack ideas, lots of instructions, review questions, teacher checklists, object lessons. It's a great, fully ready-to-teach curriculum about the life of Christ. It comes with three previous quarters as well. We're excited about this resource, and we know that it will be a help to your children's ministry and your teachers. All of this and many more books and resources are to be found at strivingtogether.com. Once again, it's strivingtogether.com. I want to also encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org/today. This is a new daily devotional site that we have instituted beginning in the new year. It includes a daily devotional as well as Old Testament, New Testament scripture readings for each day and a chapter from Proverbs. It's a complimentary website. It also makes a great email for those that like to subscribe. You can receive via email a scripture reading for the day, a devotion for the day. Lots of churches have jumped on board with this and are using this as a tool to help their members read through the Bible in a year. You can receive these emails on a daily basis on your easiest device and be able to read through the Word of God at your convenience. All of this is redesigned and kind of relaunched with the beginning of the new year. You'll find it again at dailyintheword.org/today. Well, Pastor, as we wrap up the lesson, what do you do when you sense the soul winning momentum or spirit changing in the church?
When you sense the soul winning fervor declining in a church, there are three things that must be done immediately. Number one, pray that God will reinstill the soul-winning fervor in your heart. Number two, get active in soul-winning yourself. Number three, preach about soul-winning in the church and encourage God's people to lift up their eyes and look unto the fields that are white already unto harvest.
Talk for a moment about our philosophy in soul-winning in regards to the staff training the lay people.
Well, I have always believed in practicing 2 Timothy 2:2. And encouraging our members to commit truth to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And I want to emphasize that the best way to train our people is for those staff members and their wives to have a partner every fall and every spring. We often will make a list amongst our pastoral staff of all of the staff of our church. Next to their name, we'll place the name of the layperson they're currently taking out on Tuesday night or Saturday. If there is no one to list, then we will go to them and encourage them to get a partner so that they'll not simply be going out with a fellow staff member, but that they'll be involved in training others also.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Friend, this has been the Spiritual Leadership Podcast from Pastor Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. If we can help you with any questions you might have about today's lesson or about the resources you find at strivingtogether.com, please be sure to call us. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Also, be sure to visit Pastor Chappell's blog at paulchappell.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to the outline for this monthly resource, give us your email address and we'll subscribe you to that list. And every month you'll get a notification that a new podcast is posted and you'll get the outline for the current podcast. You can find that all at paulchappell.com. Thanks again for listening. Until next month, may God bless you as you serve and lead His people to impact our world for the gospel of Jesus Christ.